Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Small business.
We can teach these barbarians a lesson in Western methods and efficiency that will put them to shame.
He tells it like it is.
I realize how difficult it's going to be in this godforsaken place where you can't find what you need. And there's the challenge.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
With all due respect, sir, I believe this is going to be our finest hour.
Welcome back. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging around with me. My pleasure, as always. It's actually more like a dream come true for me to be able to talk to you every day and share some ideas with you, introduce you to some really exciting and smart people. And boy, howdy, are you going to be glad you hung out with us today, because one of the guys that I just admire so much. I love his mind. I love the way he thinks. I absorb everything I can get from him. Joel Barker is in the building, so to speak, ladies and gentlemen. And I found out about Joel Barker when I learned about his book Paradigms, The Business of Discovering the Future, and saw the video, and that was back in the early 90s. And when we got the opportunity to have him join our Brain Trust and to be a regular guest on the show, that just made my career, basically. I admired him, what he does so much, and he's here right now. Joel Barker, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Jim. And by the way, I want to reflect when you said it's a dream come true to do your job. When I became a futurist, that became my dream come true too. Every day is a great day.
I know it. And I guess I didn't. I'm glad you said that, because I usually do. He is a futurist, ladies and gentlemen, and that's an exciting job. It must be exciting, and of course, it must be awfully burdensome, though, Joel, to have the weight of the future on your shoulders.
Well, it's just the opposite. It's exciting because you get to see all the opportunities that human beings create around the planet to make the planet a better place.
And by the way, folks, when you go to joelbarker.com and you go to his book page, be prepared to scroll. I mean, the list goes on and on. And now the new one, your last book.
Regions of the Future, yeah.
Yeah, there you go, Five Regions of the Future. Joel, one of the things that I know you want to talk about, let's do this one first, because we had a couple of topics. Let's talk about China first.
Yep.
Now, my audience, I've spent a good bit of time in the last few years covering China. I don't know if you're familiar with Ted Fishman, who wrote the book called China Inc. Ted has been our China expert. Bill Brandt is another guy who does a lot of work in China. He's been on the show many times talking about China. Doug Barry with the U.S. Commercial Services Division of the Commerce Department has been on the show talking about China. And so I'm anxious to hear your thoughts on China.
Well, the one concern I have about China is something that seems to be going under the radar. And that is everybody saying, gee, let's go to China, let's get cheaper products. Of course, we've got this whole regulation thing that cheaper did not necessarily mean better. So that's a different conversation. But here's the one that I'm really concerned about. When we let China do our manufacturing for us, we let China discover all the manufacturing innovations that goes along with that.
Right, right.
And the big dilemma.
And the spinoffs.
And all the spinoffs. Mm-hmm. And the big dilemma of that is that we have now passed our manufacturing future on, in many cases, to a country that, while they're cooperating with us right now, you know, when they get monopoly advantage in terms of manufacturing, things might not be so cheap anymore, and we will have no rebuttal here in this country because we don't have any of our own brilliant Americans manufacturing those same products and also
right.
making discoveries for innovations.
It's true, but there are many, many things that have given rise to this scenario that we have right now, and some of them we did to ourselves, and there's plenty of if we want to use the word blame, I don't know if that's a good word, but there are plenty of co-conspirators in this situation on all sides. What's the solution, Joel?
Well, number one, I agree with that. We did this to ourselves, and we did it because we wanted to have such low prices that a nickel or a dime made a difference in terms of whether we produced it here in this country or over in that country. So there are actually two solutions. One, my good friend Tordahl, who is, I think, the world's expert in productivity, mm-hmm. has more than enough data to prove that any time America wants to get serious about its productivity again, that we could double our productivity capacity in 5 years. Now, mm-hmm. if we doubled our productivity in 5 years, we are well ahead of both Japan and China in terms of producing things at low cost. And but I think the second thing is we need to actually set up a standard of manufacturing in this country that says 25% of all manufactured goods in every category are manufactured inside our borders, not outside our borders.
The only problem I got with those kind of standards and those kinds of requirements, Joel, is I'm a free trader. I mean, I value your opinion, and I'm glad you're giving it to us, and you and I can talk about it. And I agree with a lot of what you're saying. The problem with the standard is it restricts free trade, and I really, and we're going to talk about this when we come back, folks.
Okay.
More to come. It might even get a little fiery when we in the next segment with our good friend Joel Barker, 20 Till. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with us. Crazy people knocking at the wall to talk more. Let me in, baby, I don't know what you got. We're back at 17 Till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. My website's our smallbusinessadvocate.com. That's where you can find there's live simulcast, the daily replay, the archives, the individual interviews, like the interview we're having with Joel Barker right now. I know you're going to want to go back and listen to this interview over and over again. Not what I say, but what Joel's saying. And you can do that. We give you that opportunity at smallbusinessadvocate.com. And you can even podcast it. We'll allow you to download it and take fair use possession, which fair use is a word that we can incorporate into our discussion on the China issue. Also, don't forget to check out our knowledge base, askjim.biz, the world's only knowledge base for small business. It's where you can get small business answers right now. Joel Barker is our guest. I'm very excited about having him back on the show. His new book is called Five Regions of the Future. And if you don't have this, you need to get it. It's absolutely outstanding. If you want to know where we're going, if you want to know what the world's going to look like when your business gets there in the future, you'll find that in this book. Joel, tell us where it's available, please.
It's actually only available at Amazon now because
okay.
our bookstores are so aggressive that if you're not selling a certain level, they just don't want to carry anymore. So Amazon's
yep.
got it, and
yep.
Thank God for Amazon, huh?
Absolutely, no question about it. Joel, we were talking about China, and
yep.
you were saying, you know, we were talking about how China, we have outsourced a lot of our manufacturing, but not just to China, and you know, Joel, you were talking about how, you know, we're going to wake up one of these days and basically we're going to be more beholden to them now. You said that they are working with us now. I've forgotten the term you used right now, sort of favorably. But the truth is, they're really not. But what they're doing that's not so favorable, we're not paying that much attention to as much as we should. And that is that they're not only are they benefiting from the offshoot innovations from the technology, the manufacturing they're doing for us, but they're stealing our stuff.
Exactly. Yep.
And I know our government's working on that, but they're stealing our stuff, and so it's actually a double whammy.
Yeah, I agree with that. Now, you said you were a free trader, and I want to test that a little bit.
Yeah.
A true free trader would not worry about the lead paints that came over on the children's toys, right? How'd you feel
about
that?
That's not true. That's not true. No. I mean, you know, I mean, that's stupid. That's not free trade. That's stupid. We've known lead was dangerous for decades.
Yes, and so we put regulations on the use, right?
Right. No, I'm talking about economic free
trade.
Yeah, but I'm not I'm talking about economic free trade.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
no, I don't think that's the same thing.
Yeah, okay. I think it gets confused sometimes, Jim. I think some people say, well, if you just let the market take care of it, it'll take care of everything. Market doesn't take care of everything.
Sometimes no, there are.
You have to insure yourself. And see, I see that 25% manufacturing inside our borders as insurance.
Right.
I buy insurance for my house, even though I hope the tornado never hits it. But I'm willing to pay that money. I'm willing to pay that price to have that insurance. And I think manufacturing, it's what makes things. And if we don't stay up on the front edge of that, we put ourselves in a position where all of a sudden we could be spending a lot of money for something that would have been cheap to insure against but very expensive to recover.
But and Joe, don't you? But Mr. Futurist, aren't you seeing more and more manufacturing coming back to the United States? Or I'm seeing lots of small businesses out there who are starting manufacturing companies.
Actually,
I see people who are taking 20th century factories and converting them into 21st century ventures.
Yeah, and I think that is good. But I think there's a difference. What we're seeing is our entrepreneurs starting brand new businesses that don't exist anywhere on the planet and creating manufacturing facilities for that. I have 100% support on that. I think that's great. I'm saying we ought to keep our expertise on making nuts and bolts in this country, too. Because here's my question. Do the fasteners that Dreamliner is going to use, that Boeing is building, which are being built out, those fasteners are being made outside this country. Do those, at least the my readings say they're being made outside this country, are we sure they will meet the quality standards that they absolutely would meet if they were made inside this country? That's that chance we have to make.
And you might be surprised to hear me say that I agree with you. And see, being a free trader doesn't mean that you're an outsourcer. You know, you outsourcing it. You know, and the devil will take the hindmost. That's not what being a free trader means. If the quality is not there, you know, it's not going to work. There was a time in the early '80s when the people at Ford told me that they could have a piston built in Japan and shipped to Detroit from Japan. Cheaper and more efficiently and with higher quality and less waste than their own plant could produce and ship only a couple hundred miles.
Yep.
So we had back to our comment about, you know, Pogo's observation, you know, some of this we did to ourselves. What you're saying is we need to reclaim that.
Yes, exactly. That's at the heart. We need to say that it's just like exercise, Jim.
Yeah.
If you give up exercise and then you want to use those muscles later on, they're not ready to be used. We need to continue to exercise the whole spectrum of manufacturing muscle. I'm not saying buy everything from inside the United States, but I'm saying enough of a percentage so that in an emergency, we have the capacity to produce things that we need to keep this country running.
You and I are in complete agreement except for one thing.
Yep.
I think we should have a national campaign to do this, not a national law to do this. Let me give you an example. We recently bought some awards for something I'm involved in, and we had the one we liked the most was actually made in China. Then we found one we liked almost as much. It was made in the United States, and we bought that one.
Good.
So, but my point is, I didn't have to have a law to do that.
Nope.
And so we need a campaign, not a law. Stand by, Joe Barker, and I will be right back. The bad news for my guests is, since I'm the host, I get the last word. Stay with us. I feel nice. Sugar and spice. I feel nice. Welcome back. It's 7 till. Don't want to miss any seconds that I can with our good friend Joel Barker. And Joel is the author of The Five Regions of the Future. That's a new one. The other books that he's written are still out there, I know. And is there a video for Five Regions of the Future?
No, because it's such an enormous topic. And as a matter of fact, we're closing down the site right now to figure out a better way to do it. So we've kept the site going. We said, not enough visitors.
Right.
But if all goes well, I'm actually going to work with a museum and produce a traveling exhibit about the five regions.
So I understand. Well, be sure to let us know. We expect you to launch that tour on the show.
Oh, what a good idea!
Yeah, absolutely. And that's Joel Barker, by the way, joelbarker.com and fiveregionsofthefuture.com. Joel, give us put your futures hat on now. You and I have been talking about some current event stuff. Put your futures hat. Tell us what's coming at us.
Well, when we talk about China, we're talking about issues, and that's it. You got to have those discussions about the future too. But one of the things I love to do, I read 85 publications a month, and five of them are weeklies, and 10 of them are weeklies, and five of them are daily. So I get a lot of stuff. But let me give you just a couple things that have caught my attention that are pretty cool. The French, invent really wacky stuff.
Yeah, well, they're wacky.
I love their innovations. They do things unlike anybody else in the world. Well, they have invented an air car. And I'm going to give people a play. Just Google MDI, air car, and you can get all the information on this, but I'll give you a quick overview. It's basically a car that takes compressed air to drive the pistons of a piston engine. And so at night, you park your car, you plug it into an electric pump. The pump pumps up these two cylinders underneath the car that hold 4,500 pounds per square inch of air pressure.
This reminds me of the car in your video about Paradigms.
That's right. It's hydraulic, except instead of fluid, it's air.
Yeah.
Now, here's the cool thing, and no pun intended. When you use compressed anything and you let it push those pistons out, of course, the air decompresses.
Right.
It goes out the exhaust. The exhaust is cooler than the air going in. It actually produces cool, totally non-polluting air coming out of
the exhaust. So this could save the polar bears, couldn't it?
Absolutely. By the way, it could cool off Los Angeles every morning, too.
Yeah.
But here's part of the story, and it gets back to the China story. MDI has licensed it to Tata, which is a huge manufacturing firm in India.
Mm-hmm.
Tata is going to produce this air car. It's good for like 150 kilometers, by the way. So that's
right, which is about 100 miles or so.
Yeah, right. That'll get you around easily. Now think about India coming into the car market with a car that requires no gasoline to run,
right,
that produces no pollution, and it actually cools off the environment when it's running.
So you plug it up at night to the electricity?
Yep. And the
but it doesn't store electricity. It stores compression.
No. You plug it into an electric motor that drives a compressor.
A compressor, yeah.
So you actually hook it to the compressor, turn it on. You're buying low-cost electricity in the middle of the night. Power plant companies just love it, and it's not polluting. Now, think about the impact that would have on global warming if, in fact, 10% of the cars every year started turning to this kind of thing until we had 50% of the vehicles.
Very
it also brings a whole new meaning to gas station. In this case, you'd go into the gas station and
get
air gas put into your thing. And by the way, you'd pay for it just like a regular gas station.
Absolutely.
But again, not
so you'd instead of filling up your tires, you'd fill up your tank.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And by the way, it represents, I'm doing a new film called Innovation at the Verge. This is Innovation at the Verge. They took compressed air, coupled it to a piston engine. Those two things don't go together at all.
Right.
Put them together in a very clever way, and all of a sudden we have a potential solution to all the urban transportation, which is, you know, you think about where we burn most of our fuel, it's going in and out to work every
day. And by the way, folks, that's theaircar.com is a website. All right, give us another. We got about a minute. Give us another.
Okay.
Another
one
feature.
More thing is MIT is working on a new way to take garbage using a plasma torch, which is like 10,000 degrees hot, will convert garbage into synthetic gas, which then can be converted into methanol or ethanol.
Right.
It'll also then capture all the bad stuff and put it in liquid glass, which they then harden. And as a final thing, as you're burning garbage on this thing, Jim, it captures all the heavy metals, you know, the steel, the iron, the other stuff, so that you can recycle that. They say it can get 6 times as much energy as it consumes out of the process, and you're burning all your garbage.
I'm so glad to hear this, because it upsets me every time I throw garbage out.
Exactly.
I feel like I'm, you know, hurting my grandchildren or something, you know. So they got to do that. And furnaces the big incinerators don't work. Joel, I'm so sad to say that that's all the time we have, but I hope you'll come back again real soon.
Love to.
It's always a pleasure to have you here. You're one of my heroes.
Thank you, Jim.
Joel Barker, ladies and gentlemen. Check his website out. That's joelbarker.com. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners, each and every one of you, and every member of our military standing a post around the world on our behalf. God bless them. God be with them. We are very proud of them.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.